how they're going to serve the needs of that population and how much money it takes to do that. So we're not the ones at the state level who can identify those cuts. We're going to go back to the counties and say you're getting X number of fewer dollars. Now tell us what you're going to do. The other difficult thing about identifying the true impact of these cuts is that this money bridges across other agencies, both state and local, across population groups and across funding streams. So when Representative Butler this morning talked about a shock absorber, I was kind of intrigued by that concept. I would characterize these as more bridge money, or if we're laying tiles, this is the mortar that goes between them and holds all the pieces together, especially in the smaller communities. We've heard from the Commission on Children, Families, and Services to the Younger Children. This, again, is we're kind of set in the middle of that continuum between the services we provide to younger children and families and the kids that are in the juvenile departments and the youth authority system. These are the kids who are kind of wavering in between those. They have family issues at home. They have alcohol and drug issues. They're not doing well at school. They're acting out. They're hanging out with the wrong kids. And those basically, in kind of plain English, are the five risk factors of which you have to have two or more in order to qualify for funding in these programs. And when we looked at every youth who gets these services goes through a screening process to see which of those five factors and what combination they have. Half of the kids who were screened in the last biennium had four or five risk factors as opposed to the minimum of two. And as these risk factors accumulate, in other words, the more you have, the more likely it is that you're going to be involved in the very short-term future in a criminal act that's going to get you into the juvenile department or the adult criminal justice system and trigger a whole higher level of array of services and resources, both at the state and local level. So, and the other point I would like to make is that every county plan, and to the extent you have questions about your specific counties, or we can provide you more information about the general categories of funding, we'd be glad to do that. Alcohol and drug treatment, assessment and prevention is a big one. School-related activities, whether those are truancy, dropout, peer courts or teen courts that occur in a school context, mentoring programs, there's a whole series of those. Mental health assessment and treatment, again, is another major category of the funds that we distribute and how the counties use them. So putting all the pieces together is not something we can really do for you at the state level, but it is something that every county will have to do as they get their cuts in the OIA budget, in the Criminal Justice Commission budget, and the Commission on Children and Families, the mental health, the A&D agency. So all these are going to come together at some point, and we really can't do a great job in painting a picture for you and telling you exactly what's going to get cut, other than to tell you that that's the dynamic that's going to happen on the local level. The outcomes of these funds are to...
Representative Tomei has a question.
Yes. In the grants that you extend to the counties, how do you follow up on those to see if they're effective?
Madam Chair, Representative Tomei, a couple different ways. In the planning process, every county has to, we have uniform outcomes that apply across all counties. That's meeting their cap, their discretionary bed allocation at the Oregon Youth Authority, and to reduce their juvenile arrest rate. And every program within those, that plan, has its own individual outcomes. And we've been working very closely with the Progress Board to work with the counties to develop things that we know that are, so we're not just measuring how many widgets we make, but what the actual result of those is. We also have a contract with consultants to run an evaluation process. So what we're really looking for is the effect of these services on those risk factors that I talked about. So we will know if a person has three risk factors that they are fairly likely to commit an offense. If we can reduce the prevalence or the severity of those risk factors, what we're looking for is reducing the likelihood that kid's going to get in the juvenile or adult justice system. And so we have an evaluation process in place and are continuing to refine that will give us some of those answers. Is that?
Well, I would be very interested in having a copy of those results.
Madam Chair, Representative Tomei, we don't have results right now. We have the system set up, so we're gathering that information as we go along, but I'd be glad to provide you with some more information on that.
That'd be great. Thank you.
So that really is what I wanted to let you know and what I had to say, and be glad to answer questions you may have.
Further questions or comments, Representative March?
Bill, when you, did you run the math on all these counties, and did you have any counties that dropped below 50 when you, after you subtracted out the 2.4, 2.4, 2.4, and 1?
Madam Chair, Representative March, we did not, because we don't know how, whether we're talking about a 2% cut or a 10% cut. There's probably, I would say, two or three that might come down to the 50, but we haven't done that math.
Madam Chair.
Representative Shetterly.
Well, I just want Phil to know he's not even close to being our smallest agency. We have $130,000 in general fund savings yesterday from the Commission for the Blind.
Well, that was yesterday.
Oh!
And yesterday's gone.
When Karen Brazeau came up and spoke about being a relatively small agency, my jaw kind of dropped because they're about at least 10 times the size that I am. So if she's relatively small, I don't know what I would be.
Madam Chair. Further questions on non-SNIDE comments?
Sorry, yeah. SNIDE.
An observation.
That's a threshold.
You're on this, you're on this commission, right?
Mm-hmm. Starting in January.
It was not a
board. Madam Chair, Mr. Lemon, I don't see here your administrative cuts, and I don't need to discuss that here, but it'd be useful to get a copy of that as well, the earlier part of that. And given the principles you do outline here of minimizing a shift to other entities, can you talk about how you actually implemented that? I understand that 92% of your general funds are passed through. That does leave 8%, and I don't see any of that 8% affected.
Madam Chair, Representative Nolan, just very briefly on the administrative cuts, we are achieving most of those primarily by holding positions vacant. Mm-hmm. We have a small fund shift that we are taking general fund and have a one-time ability to shift those to federal funds. And then we start, I think our last 2% is in S&S that we have not specifically identified, but we'll get that information to you. On the principles and how we applied those, the non-juvenile crime prevention piece of the budget cut is the Police Stops Committee. So we do have a component there that addresses that. The rest, frankly, when we're asked to define our core missions and implement our core missions, by statute, our core mission is the planning and policy development piece of our agency. And so that kind of defaults everything else to the non-primary functions. And so that's, and to get to a $2 million cut, we have to go to juvenile crime prevention grant. There are other areas where we can, you know, adjust and trim around the edges, but to get the $2 million, we have to go to juvenile crime prevention grant.
Well, and follow up. Just a follow-up comment. I appreciate the dilemma that some of the agency heads have been in, the statutory requirements and direction, and yet several agency heads have come and suggested if there were a statutory change, this is something that could happen. And I don't know if the instructions were clear on that and whether that was taken as general license. But it raises the question that the legislature may have to deal with non-budgetary changes because in making cuts, we will have to relieve agencies of some of the statutory mandates that we've given them.
That's a good point that you raised, Representative Miller. Mm-hmm. Further comments, questions? Thank you very much. That was a very clear and concise presentation. We have now got a break on our schedule, so what I will do is recess the committee. We will reconvene at 2 o'clock to hear the Judicial Department.
My wife and good wife.
Peace out.